You're listening to Black Girl Blueprint.
Because Black girls did it first.
And honestly, better.
Period.
Period.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Black Girl Blueprint, your fave podcast for all the Gen Z Black Girl tea. My name's Lauren.
And my name is McKean, and thank you all for listening to our special edition Mother's Day episode. We are joined by both our moms today. So very excited to have you both. Say hi to the people.
Hi, people.
You can introduce yourselves. Let us know a little bit about you.
Well, first, I want to say thank you. Thank you to Lauren and McKean for allowing me to be a part of your podcast. And I just want to send a special happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are listening. To you too, mm-hmm. Julia. That includes you. My name is Paulette Ritchie. I'm Lauren's mom. A little about myself. I'm a corporate attorney here in the Bahamas. I'm practicing here in the Bahamas. I love to read and innovative, you know, ways of, you know, learning. I love to watch the Discovery Channel, History Channel, and in my spare time, I just like to, you know, spend time with my family. So yeah, that's basically me in a nutshell.
Amazing. Thank you for that. Mama, do you like to introduce yourself next?
So I'm Julia Jordan Zachary, and by default, McKean's mom most days. Those of you who know McKean and I, we know we tease each other a lot. It is truly a pleasure to be here. I thank you, Lauren, and I thank you, McKean, for the work that you're doing in centering Black girlhood, Black young womanhood, etc. I do listen to your podcast, and I will literally bust out laughing, like, these two little girls think they old. Like, y'all just got here.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
But I will say, I think you all are doing beautiful work. So thank you for that. And, you know, to all the mothers out there, whether you're mothering biologically or mothering in any other capacity, because I think there's always space for mothering beyond biology. So happy Mother's Day to you all. I especially want to say, you know, to my grandmother, and we'll probably get into this, for all the work that she's done, because we are here, McKean and I are here, in part because of the work that she's done in mothering over the years and continues to do at almost 94, with keeping us honest about who we are and what we are. So a little about me. I am from Barbados with a burning desire to retire in the Bahamas, but that's okay. Right? Yeah. Some people always say, why don't you just want to go home? And I'm like, well, anyhow. But yeah, that's my desire to retire in the Bahamas. So like I said, I'm originally from Barbados. I theoretically have a PhD in political science, but I write primarily on Black women. I make fun and I say I'm a scholar of Black women. Everything Black women I want to be a scholar on. And so I listen to the ancestors and I write what I want to write. And so I've written poetry that talks about the pain and the joys of being a Black woman, of raising a Black girl, of being an immigrant. I've been editing this book called Erotic Testimonies that tells the story of Black women choosing to live their lives beyond the stereotypes. And so that's kind of a little bit of who I am, beyond a professor and chair of the Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies Department at Wake Forest. I jokingly say I am that quirky little Black girl who grew up to live her dream to be a teacher.
Yeah,
you were so poetic lines today.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for being here. We wanted to get you guys on, especially because this podcast, you know, is about centering, you know, Gen Z Black voices, which is really young adult women, but we love to hear, you know, from like older generations and compare and, you know, talk about motherhood, I think is really important. So that's what we're getting into today. We're going to start with our Read the Room segment. McKean, do you want to explain what that is for the people?
Yes. So for anyone who's new here, we start every episode off with our Read the Room. It's always something quick, something fun. Generally, we talk about pop culture in this moment. Sometimes we talk about tea from y'all's lives, from our own lives. So today we figured, in honor of our Mother's Day episode, and given how much we've talked about our moms in past episodes, it would be fitting for you guys to understand a bit about what we were like as children with some quick, you know, rapid anecdotes from our moms of things they remember about us. So we figured we'd start with our names. You know, we always start, you know, Black Girl Blueprint by Lauren and McKean. So we figured we would begin with, why did you all choose to name us Lauren and McKean, respectfully, and, you know, give us a very quick, you know, glimpse into what that decision looked like. So, Mrs. Ritchie, would you like to go first?
I think we just wanted the kids to have their dad's initials, because I think his initials are L-A-R. And so that's why we named you Lauren Alexandria Ritchie. But, you know, as moms, you know, we always want the dads to, you know, to feel connected and to be a part of the, you know, whole birthing process. You know, my husband was there. He was present in the delivery room. And he named the kids. He named them and he gave them both, you know, his initials. So.
Wow. Sounds like we have to get the dads on for an episode.
Yeah.
Do you know why Lauren specifically?
I don't know why Lauren. I mean, I really have to ask your dad. Do you know what it does it mean anything?
I thought it was Lauren Hill. That's what I remember.
Oh, Lauren Hill. I know. I always loved Ralph Lauren.
That's what I. So, maybe that's.
But your dad probably is Lauren Hill. Yeah, I know he likes Lauren Hill. So that's probably
Well, I'm just gonna say Lauren Hill.
Lauren Hill. Yeah, I think. Yeah, you're right.
Just roll with that, Lauren. Right. Just roll with that, Lauren.
What about you, Miss Julia?
So it's interesting that the dads are centering this. So we never found out what we were having. I figure it is a 50-50 chance with a small probability that it won't be male or female, right? I had no interest in finding out, just wanted a healthy child. And so my only request was that I get the middle name. Mm-hmm. And so McKean's being Jordan Zachary. And if you look at my name is Julia Jordan Zachary. But the reason I wanted Jordan as the middle name was because my dad was dying when I had McKean, and I'm an only child, and I figured McKean more than likely would be an only child, and it was the only way of keeping my dad's name in the family, which is why her middle name is Jordan. But so I had said to McKean's dad, you can pick the first name and you can have him on the podcast, but he didn't do his homework is all I'm going to say. And so I had been searching for names, and we had looked at Arabic names because McKean is both raised, and I'll let her explain this, Christian and Muslim. And so I had looked at Islamic names with meanings, et cetera. And I came across McKean, and there are various spellings of McKean. And you know, I thought it was enough of a, we could play it as enough of a neutral name, depending on what we had. And her name means strength. And we could not have picked a more appropriate name for McKean, because McKean does embody strength in a quiet kind of way sometimes. But, you know, gave birth and he goes, oh, it's a girl. And I was like, oh no, check again. It's supposed to be a boy. So the midwife said, what's her name? She's so beautiful. And I looked at him and I busted out laughing. I was like, I know you don't have a name, but I got a name.
Terrible.
And so I said, McKean? And he said, yeah. And that's her naming process.
I like that naming process. Yeah, the quiet strength
machine. It's so unique. Yeah.
Thank you. I told everyone it was in the Quran growing up, and I literally barely knew what the Quran was, let alone had I ever held one.
Oh, wow.
I was proud of it. Yeah, I was proud of it.
Something else we thought would be funny as well would be to talk about, are there any things that we were really into? We've talked a little bit about what our passions are, and we've reflected a little bit about what our interests were as children, but are there any things that you can remember, any like songs or movies, shows, toys, anything like that, that we were really, really passionate about or interested in?
Later in life, Justin Bieber I get that.
I only had a brief Justin Bieber piece. So you understood One Direction.
Brief is relative. Dragged me to, what was her, that singer's name when I used the earphone? Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey McKean.
Yeah.
Well, what age was this?
And like I
was
middle like, school.
And I drove them out to Connecticut, the good mother I am, trying to get the good nursing home, right? Drove them out to Connecticut. She takes me to this thing. I'm like, okay. Thank God I had the earplugs. I put them in. I went to sleep because I'm like, this is some music that will make you hurt yourself.
I don't know if you've ever, Mommy, you don't know who Lana Del Rey is, right?
Trust me. I know I've heard the name. Yeah.
You know, you've seen the Great Gatsby.
You're not missing much. But she, yeah. she used to walk, of all the songs she used to walk around singing was, Rihanna, because she was fascinated by Rihanna being from Barbados and stuff, and she used to walk around singing S&M.
That's so funny. We've talked about that. McKean's told me that story.
Yes, I had a time with that. I had no idea what she was talking about. I loved that song.
Recently asked me about that. I was like, did you know what it meant? She was like, no. I said, that's why I never stopped you from singing it. So imagine this little girl walking around talking about Winston.
S&M. That's funny. What about you, Mommy?
I just remember you as a little girl, even as a little toddler, at 1 year old, you always liked to dress up and take pictures. Yeah, always liked to dress up and paint. And you always liked, you know, even when you dressed up for church, you always have your purse. You needed to have a matching purse. Yeah, you know, when you were going out. And I remember we had this armoire and it had a mirror on one side of the door, and we used to keep the camera up at the top of the armoire, so you would look at yourself in the mirror, you would twirl around, and then you couldn't speak, but you would just point up there, and we know that meant I'm ready for my close-up. So we'd have to get the camera and yeah, you know, you would do your poses and, you know, at one, and, you know, we take pictures of you, but you love to take pictures. You love to dress up.
I don't think that's changed very, very much.
Yeah, and take pictures. Oh, yes, that hasn't changed because always we have to take so many pictures of you. Oh, just try this. Okay. Can you try again?
Right. Yeah. We do have the photo album. I'm grateful for that now, actually, how much I like the camera, because Daddy even has those like at home videos of me that are on YouTube somewhere of me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When you sang in church and yeah, remember Mother's Day? You did a Mother's Day song, Mama.
So off key.
That's I was all right. You brought tears to my eyes. That was so great.
Cute.
Yeah.
That was cute.
That's okay. Off key and all. It was great.
That is sweet. You were ready for the IG influencer coin from jump.
I was.
Yeah. So I think our last question for this rapid fire section, which has not been more of a moderate fire section, but we wanted to ask you both, what did you think we were going to be when we grew up, when we were little? Did you have any idea of like what career path we might follow in based on what we were obsessed with at the time?
So I think you have always been one who was interested in justice and equity and things like that from yay high. And so I anticipated that you would do something related to voice, being speaking, writing, or something like that, and something related to justice. And I would also not have been surprised if you had brought in your artistic side. And I still have hope that, you know, you're going to try corporate America, but you're going to come back to them roots.
No, I will, you know.
Yeah, you will.
You know, we have faith. She's not lost. She's just taking it the long way.
Honestly, I don't think it's the long way either. I think it's just the way. And you know, and I mentioned your great grandmother, because she is the one who told me what you were going to do. When she looked at you and she said, this child has something to say and don't shut her up. So I knew it would be around voice. And when I say voice, I mean, not just physical voice, but whether it's your artistic voice, your writing voice, or what have you, and that you would use that voice to bring us closer to some form of justice.
Okay, wow. Thank you. I'm flattered.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
This is Richie. How would you answer that for Lauren?
But Lauren, I think I remember you wanted to do medicine. I think you were always fascinated. You were fascinated with medicine. You changed course once you started university. But I remember your grand aunt, she died of ovarian cancer at a sort of young age. And I remember that you said, you know, that you wanted to do medicine. It was around that time you said you wanted to do medicine and that you wanted to become a doctor and that you were going to find a cure, you know? Yeah. But like I said, you got accepted into biochemistry at Columbia, I recall. But once you got there, I think you changed. You changed course and you decided to do sustainable development. Right? Yeah, but
healing the world.
So I always thought you would be a doctor, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you wanted me to be a doctor to a certain extent, but I think I was watching way too many of those like Grey's Anatomy at the time. I think that was entirely my conception of medicine at the time, or House. I was also watching a lot of. I don't think that was a real desire, but that makes sense.
Right. Okay.
Well, I think moving away from our rapid fire, we wanted to talk a little bit about what you guys were like when you were our age, especially, you know, for the people who are young adults also to get a little bit of insight into your lives.
At your age, wow.
Maybe Miss Julia, you can start if you have.
So you were asking me to talk about yesterday. What was my life like yesterday as a young adult? Okay. So yes, no. So I started college at 16. So I left, I changed my migration pattern, for lack of a better term. And I moved here permanently when I was 16 to start college. And I graduated, I think I finished, I was about 20. I started grad school 20, going 21. Yeah, I started grad school at 20. So when I was like your age, I was in grad school. And that only matters because, it was a really interesting time in my life because people celebrate 2021 as these big things in life or whatever, big moments. But for me, they weren't necessarily those kind of big moments. I think I came into my adulthood much later in my 20s. But at that age, you know, I was trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted to do with my life. Kind of, while still understanding that I was independent from my family, right? So what does it mean to be independent from your family, but still a part of your family? What does it mean to be an immigrant living in the US, having moved away from Barbados? So I was in, at your age, I was in a very, what I call a very nebulous stage of figuring out belonging. And I look back at that time and I was like, you know, it wasn't always the prettiest time, but it was such a beautiful and important time because once you can figure out to whom you belong, that travels with you so beautifully through life, right? And these kind of larger questions, et cetera, you kind of have this deep understanding of to whom you belong. And I was kind of grateful that, even though I look back and I might not have started grad school so young, I was grateful that I started at that age because it really gave me a solid foundation of who I am. And that, it still resonates today.
What do you think, Mommy? Think back, come on.
What I was doing, of course I was in college. Mm-hmm. I was in college in Canada. Yeah, some of the best days or years, I should say, of my life, I recall. I made a lot of, you know, lasting friendships, people that I still, you know, keep in touch with today, you know, so it was really a great time, you know. Wasn't quite sure I knew what I wanted to be then because, you know, initially I was on the path of becoming a doctor. Maybe that's why I wanted you to do medicine. but of course that changed. I got a degree in biology with chemistry, but worked in that field for a little while and then decided it's not what I wanted to do. So I went back to school. I went to the UK and I studied law, and that's the field that I'm in today. I'm practicing law and I'm happy Yeah. So at 20, you're 20, right, Lauren? Yeah. 20. Yeah. Yeah. I was in college. And like I say, some of my better days and memories were, yeah, my college days.
Wow. Did y'all party at 20?
What? I told her we used to party. We never used to go home. We used to fall asleep. I hope she's not doing that now, but we used to fall asleep wherever we went to party. We'd fall asleep. We'd wake up the next morning and then we'll go home.
How about you, Miss Julia?
So there's a reason I told McKean, I said, when you go off to college, I'm not going to fuss with you what you do as long as you do your work.
Yeah.
What you do outside of that, I'm not. There's a reason I said that.
Why? Because that's what you did?
You know, I mean, everybody gets surprised when I tell them this. I stayed at the club. You know?
Mm-hmm. Sunday nights.
The only night I didn't go to the club was Saturday. That's when the old fogies went to the club. You roll up at home, the sun's coming up.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Well, we don't even club this. Like that anymore. Yeah. I can't remember the last time. We had a pandemic during our college years. So yeah. No clubbing for us.
We had a different life.
Well, you guys missed out big time.
Not a lot is all I can say. And that's why there is a value of socialization as long as it does not compromise while you are in college, right? And if you know that you want to socialize, then do what you need to do Monday through Friday so that you can socialize, right? I'm never going to deny McKean the possibility, like stay in your room. I know we did have that conversation about boys in her room in the first, you don't remember that when you sent me the video of, I forget his name, that came to visit. You said, see, he's outside my room.
I can't, I don't remember. I don't know this either, story. But that's clear. It sounds accurate.
That's wild. Sounds about right.
Remember, your dad and I was sitting around the table and we were like, don't let boys in your room, be very clear, blah blah blah. And who was it that came to visit, came to New York, and you were like, see, he's outside my room. And I busted out laughing. I'm like, okay.
I can't.
She can be very literal is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, okay. Well, let's keep it moving. I guess we can get into the motherhood element of the conversation. Since we've identified some ways in which our 20s have been similar and a little bit different. It sounds like y'all are at the club a bit more than we were. So but I'm jealous of that. But we wanted to start talking about motherhood a bit more. And I don't know, just like how you thought about motherhood before you became a mother specifically. And I'm curious to hear from both of you. Did both of you always see yourselves as like being mothers in the future? Did you always want to be a mom? And also, what attracted you most to motherhood?
Well, I know I always wanted to be a mom. And I don't know if there was any attraction. I mean, I guess as a woman, I guess that's innate, you know, that's an innate feeling, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, you want to have, you know,
right.
your kids, little mini me's.
I guess as an added element to this question, when did you know you were ready to have children also?
Okay. Well, Lauren was not planned. I tell you that.
That's me.
Whoops.
No, she wasn't. But trust me, once I found out that I was pregnant, I just knew that I was going to, you know, do whatever I could to be, you know, to be the best mom that I could. Yeah, you know, to raise her with, you know, Christian values, because I was raised with those, you know. Yeah. So she wasn't planned, but like I said, once we got the news, yeah.
Did you have any reservations? Were there any, fears? Also at that point in your career, did you feel prepared to have kids, or was it important for you to have certain things set up in your life before?
And it didn't affect my career. You know, I took a few months off maternity leave, I think maybe 4 months. And I went back to work.
Amen. Girl boss.
Well, I started out vowing never to have children. I'm not even going to lie. It wasn't a dislike for children. I don't think because I'm a woman, I have to have children, or any woman has to have children. Like I told McKean that you choose to have children, that's your choice. But don't ever let society pressure you into thinking you have to because you were born a woman, a female. I chose to have McKean because my dad was dying. And I knew that she would never get to know him, but he would have the pleasure of knowing her. And it, you know, he died, she was like a year and a half, give or take. And the joy of watching the two of them together still makes me smile, the biggest smile probably outside of when I first held her. You know, the joy that she brought my dad. And so the other question was, did you always want children? How did you feel? I mean, McKean, and I told it, and I'm not saying this because McKean is here, but McKean has shaped my life so deeply and in ways that she probably will never comprehend. I remember when she was much younger, we were laying in bed and she asked me, could she be my friend? And I said, no, I'm your mom. And she held that against me for years. But little did she know that she was my little friend, but I had to be her mother, right? And I was very clear about how I wanted to be her mother, which was in part to allow her to lead me into motherhood and not for me to come into motherhood with predetermined understandings. So I wanted to parent her as a human being and not just this little mini me or whatever we call him, right? But to recognize her humanity. And so I've always taken my lead of parenting from McKean. That doesn't mean it's always been pretty. McKean has, as I said, just quite, you know, we're both stubborn. Let's just put it out there in the world, right? It just manifests differently. And there are times when I had to say, little girl, sit your little behind down, you and all that. I'm still your mama. And there were times when McKean has really made me a better woman. And I don't say that flippantly. I sincerely mean that, you know, where she has quietly asked me questions that have made me rethink what I do. And I'm still in the academy because of something she said to me years ago, right? And she'll just do one-liners. Lauren, you might have experienced this. I don't know. Dry as a biscuit. You know, like, can I get a little sip of water with that? One-liner. Right. And she literally will walk away and you're like, well, welcome back. You know, like I make fun that the book Black Girl Magic Beyond the Hashtag is a result of her. Right. It's literally a manifestation of conversations I had with her. And that to me has been the beauty and the challenge of parenting is to allow her, McKean, the individual, to set the stage for parenting. With parameters, right? So she's not running around being wild. No, we're not doing that. I'm from Barbados. Y'all know me and doing that, right? But to still always honor her as a human being. And I don't know if I've been successful, but that was my goal with parenting.
I love that. That was beautiful, Mr. Bibb. Thank you. I think something that we've been really curious about, something that we've talked about a bit on our past episode as well, is this kind of idea, especially I think within Black womanhood or within, you know, Black motherhood and generational, you know, cycles of how, you know, things are passed down, whether that's different, you know, actions, but also different mothering styles and different just things that you carry with you show up in your parenting. And I was just wondering, you know, for both of you, to what extent you felt like your mothering styles were informed by your own mothers and, you know, which aspects of that upbringing you decided you wanted to replicate versus in what ways you had, you know, tried to mother differently.
Hmm. Yeah, well, my mom was very strict. Yeah. Growing up, she was a single mom. She raised three daughters on her own, but I always remember she was a very strong woman, you know, and she inspired me. Yeah, today my mom had to leave school early. I don't think she finished the final grade for high school because she got pregnant with me. And I remember she had me. Once she had me too, she had to go out and find work, you know. She had to, you know, work to take care of me. So, yeah, I think that's where, I don't know, I get my strength
from, you know. It's my mom. She was old-fashioned. Yeah, she was from the old school, you know. I remember, you know, they always used to say, you know, well, children are supposed to be seen and not heard. But I'm not like that. You know, I want my kids to be, you know, free thinkers and, you know, to have their own opinions, as long as they're respectful, you know, you know, they do it in a respectful way. But yeah, I'd say my mom inspired me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, there are things we can try to leave behind, but there's always going to be an element of the past with us, right? And all we can do is be conscious of how the past shows up. And I think sometimes people, and for good reasons I don't understand, people need to leave the past completely behind in order to reinvent, et cetera. I didn't necessarily have to leave the past behind to reinvent. Now, again, I'm from Barbados, and you talk about traditional two-parent household. You know, I smile at times when I'm like, wait, I actually had quite a bit of flexibility. My parents let me make some choices. They let me decide I'm leaving school at 16. You know, they let me decide I'm going to a Pentecostal church. I was like 8. But then there were some things where it's like, here's the box. And don't peek your head out the box, right? You stay a little narrow behind in the box, right? You know, and as a parent now, you kind of look back at that and some of it makes sense. And as, you know, at my big age, as you all will say, some of it still doesn't quite make sense, right? But I really had to think about, again, parenting McKean, not necessarily of getting rid of the past, but asking myself how I want that past to show up. Because not everything in the past, even though I don't understand it, was necessarily bad, right? And what was, again, fascinating was my grandmother instructing me to let McKean speak. And I'm like, what? Where'd that come from? When I was growing up, girl, you better sit down and be quiet. So you're telling me to let this child talk? Like, what I mean? You know? I'm like, grand, you know? But here's what I know about my grandmother. And McKean has this trait, the same trait my grandmother has, is that they're able to see beyond themselves. And for lack of a better term, kind of see a future. And so if my grand tells me something, yeah, McKean, you've done it a few times with me where you've told me things that have materialized. So when my grand told me that, I knew that I needed to check, be really conscious about how I parent. Now, there are times when I slipped up and I went back to what was known. You know what I mean? Stay in that box. Don't peek your head out of the box kind of thing. But then I had to be like, wait, is this what this child needs? The same way my parents gave me a little bit of latitude about finishing at 16, et cetera, they allowed me to learn how to make decisions and for myself. And so for me, raising a child that could make decisions was so critical. Right. And I knew that I couldn't wait for her to turn 16, 18, 20, 21 to then suddenly say, go make decisions. And one of the things that McKean hated was I used to tell her there are consequences. And McKean started talking. She was 8 months old. So she literally was talking in sentences at like 8 months. And so imagine this little thing. She was maybe a year and a half. No consequences. I don't want to talk about consequences. Uh-uh, no consequences. And I'm like, first of all, you need to say the word properly. You know, she's like, no. We don't talk about no consequences. Not today, mama. Not today. You know, and there's a part of me that wants to laugh about that. But then there's the mothering part of me that like kicks in and be like, no, there are consequences. And I want you to make your decision knowing that there are consequences. So I think that was one of the things from the past that I was able to bring in very consciously around.
Okay. Here. 8 months. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Yeah. We won't tell you. We won't say what you said at 8 months. Cause that's.
Well, that's because that would make you look bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember having a similar conversation with Lauren too. She was in daycare, and Lauren, I've told you this before. I could remember this just like it was yesterday. I remember we were in the living room of our apartment, a little apartment, and you came home one day from school and you said to me, "Mommy, we need to have a talk." Yeah. And I don't remember what it was about, but you wanted to give some report on something that had happened that day in daycare. But I guess could remember, I say, how precocious. This is a 2-year-old, but we need to have a talk, you know?
I do remember that.
Yeah. So yeah, you sat me down in the living room and yeah, you had your talk.
I've been very dramatic my entire life. I'm very surprised you didn't say the actress thing with what you thought I was
going to. That's right.
About that.
That's accurate.
But you wanted to be an actress, but I said no. I said you can do that on the side.
You wouldn't let me, but here we are.
Yeah.
Singing all the time. Yeah. For real. Well, okay, I love how this conversation is going. I want to keep us on track to not talk forever. I would love to. Maybe we have to do a part two. But we wanted to talk about our relationships a bit more and less of the nice parts, less of the things that were done right, but get into what the challenges might have been in mothering us as we grew up. And were there years that were particularly challenging? Was there shifts when we became teenagers or when we, entered certain years in our life that presented new challenges, and how did you navigate those as a mother?
Well, I think it's amazing to be able to raise girls and young women with a sense of self that she knew, Lauren knew what she needed, and she was able to articulate that, right? And especially for girls, and I know we're off script and we'll come back to your script. For girls, we're often taught not to speak our truths, to hold our tongue, to go with the flow, to be quiet, to not take up space, all this stuff, and to be able, and I think this is why I listen to your podcast, because it lets me see what it means for somebody your age to be that free, to be able to speak from your truth. But that didn't just happen. Right. And yeah, McKean, we know you could talk because you also used to sing quite a bit.
Yeah, McKean too.
That was the first indication.
Look at us go. This was destined to be. Look at us.
Not to sing. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want a girl because two queen bees do not live in the same hive. And I remember McKean, probably we were standing in the hallway in Rhode Island at the top of the stairs. And I can remember coming to kind of your level and looking at you and saying to you, I don't answer to you when I raise you. I answer to God. And I don't have to explain everything to you the way that I raise you. And I remember McKean gets upset by puffing out her little chest, right? She doesn't, she's not rude in terms of words and whatever, but her little chest gets all puffed out and stuff. And she goes, and she hates when I go, but then she does it too, right? And so I remember that. And that took care of a lot of the natural mother-daughter or parenting tension, right? Because tension comes for me when a child is trying to figure out their identity vis-a-vis the parent and whomever, however you're parenting, right? And it's quite natural. And so I had to remind myself of that she's quite natural. And what better place for her to test out her limits than with me, even though it's frustrating. But I remember one specific thing where she was in high school with her friend group. I don't know if y'all still use that term. I used to roll my eyes because I'm like, I gotta get this little black girl to pop this white joint. But that's a whole nother conversation around parenting, right? Our little friend group had this little boy in it and they wanted a sleepover. And I was like, absolutely not. But he's my part of my friend group. I'm like, he can come over and he can get picked up at 1 o'clock. Who's gonna pick him up? I don't care who's gonna pick him up at 1 o'clock. He ain't spending the night up in my house. But he's gay. I don't care. McKean, does he have a penis? I think so. Does it work? I don't know. Well, if he got a penis and it worked, he ain't coming to my house. I don't think she's forgiven me for that for years. You might still be salty about that one. Yeah. And that I think was probably the last time. So when McKean gets set in her ways, she'll say, I don't think that's good for me. And that's when you know to leave her alone, right? And that's the adult version of her little chest poking up. I don't think that's good for me. So we had a conversation about grad school and she just politely lets me know, that's not what I want right now. And I'm like, okay. right? So that's how she kind of pushes back. But really and truly, the biggest pushback was around, I won't use names, but your friend group coming over. The challenge around parenting, and this is probably more a reflection of me than McKean, was reminding her she's a Black girl, even though she was being raised in a very white context, right? And that Blackness mattered based on her definition of it and not other people's definitions, right? But that doesn't mean that you're not conscious of other people's definitions, because if you're not conscious, it could end up with you being dead. So those are kind of the challenges. Not the
so anyways.
we won't talk about the room.
Yeah, we got to talk about the bedroom.
Yeah, I would think, well, your college years, obviously, you know, it's quite recent. Yeah. But I realized that, you know, you were away from, you know, my influences and, you know, my protection. You were now being influenced by the outside. I could recall you wrote me, and this is just recently, maybe a year ago, instead of a year ago, you wrote me this long epistle, you know? Yeah, well, you told me how you felt, and you know, you basically said that, you know, that I should just let you be you, and you know, and to make your mistakes. And but like I said, I understood where you were coming from. And, you know, I said, you know, sometimes you just need to release these kids. You need to let them crash and burn, you know. And so I appreciated, you know, what you had to say. You know, you were being honest. And so I said, I will let you, you know, be you. Because at the end of the day, experience is wisdom. So
I'll take that.
Yeah. But it was tough to swallow.
No, I at first, agree with
but
that.
Yeah. So no, you what you wanted thing. To say? What you wanted to
There's
say
no
in
defense.
Your defense?
I agree.
Okay.
It was hard for me.
Okay.
Too, especially with, you know, being so far away from home. But also, it's hard to tell your mom to ease up, or it's hard to tell your mom, especially when I know that you have my best interest at heart, but the way that you're trying to have my best interest at heart is having the opposite effect.
Yeah.
That's a difficult conversation to have and a hard, you know, like pill to swallow. But we had that conversation and I'm happy with how we've grown since, which is what I was going to say, and that I'm thankful for that. And I think that's kind of one of the last questions we wanted to ask is, especially, you know, thinking about you've known us since the womb and as children, and now we are coming into these, you know, years of young adulthood, and even as we grow into adults and maybe even mothers ourselves in the future, I guess we just wanted to know what you're looking forward to most in seeing the evolution of, you know, our relationship as it changes as we grow. What do you hope remains consistent, and then what other changes are you excited to see in the future?
Well, I've tried to raise with you and my younger son, my kids, yeah, you know, in a wholesome, you know, home environment.
You know, two loving parents, you know, and to teach you both, you know, Christian values, you know. You know, you remember growing up, you know, you all went to church every single Sunday, you know. God baptized, the whole works. You know, I know you don't do that today. I know, you know, you didn't keep up with that, but that's okay. You know, I just hope that, you know, whenever you find yourself, you know, in a situation that, you know, you can just draw, you know, from those, you know, those positive mm-hmm. values that, you know, we would have taught you growing up. So
I second that, you know. I remember two things. When I found out I was pregnant, my prayer for McKean was that I can teach McKean that there is a God, and that you respect God, and there, your life is much bigger than who or what you are. You always respect that, and respect yourself, regardless of where you are, what you do. Those two things should be the center of your life. And when McKean was really little, even before she could speak, I would always say to McKean, never let anybody make you do something you don't want to do, and you don't do it to anybody else. Right. And I remember when she went off to college, and I would say this to this child just about every day. She goes, "Who's going to say that to me now?" And I was like, "You are, because I did my job." Right. You just have to always remember who you are. Mm-hmm. You have to be grounded in your truth. You have to live a life that comes from your truth. Right. I mean, that is all we can do. That's all I can hope for as a mother, that you live that life of your truth, knowing first and foremost mm-hmm. that there is a God that you respect and that you respect yourself. Right. And people would pester me about, like, what do you want her to do? I'm like, this is not my life. I'm not living her life. I live my life. Makena has to live her life. And whatever she does, I hope that she does it from a place of truth.
That's right.
And I have to accept that that's her truth, whether or not I agree with it or what have you. If it's her truth, I have to find a way. And the beautiful thing about this stage of mothering now, which I'm completely fascinated by, is how I've become the cheerleader in McKean's life. Right? I get to sit back with the pom-poms or whatever, and I'm just cheering along, you know, of course, here to pick up when, if she needs it or whatever. But it is so beautiful right now to be a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Right? Because when McKean, and I'll say this, I know your time is running out, but McKean was little, she used to come to us with a cup and she would say, "Spill it over, spill it over." And at first I was like, "Spill it over? Oh, she wants us to cheer." Okay. And I oftentimes think about McKean, now you have an opportunity to spill over all that's been poured into you, mm-hmm. right? Just spill it over, mm-hmm. give it to somebody else, give it to the universe. Take all that God has given you from your foremothers, that lineage that you came from, and simply spill it over. That's all I want from you in this life, mm-hmm. right? And if you spill over all that's been poured so beautifully into you, you're going to be okay.
Sheesh, Mama, you're fighting for my spot as host of this podcast.
Yeah. Right? Your mom has the gift of the job, I'm telling you. Yeah. Yes.
Not the sermon. That was beautiful. Thank you. Well, okay. Well, this is our very last question before we wrap, which we always close episodes with. And I think this is a good place for us to end also, just to hear about y'all's lives and celebrate you. Because keeping in mind that this is Mother's Day and the episode was supposed to be about you, as though it's been much about me and Lauren. So yeah, we figured we would ask, what are some things that are bringing you guys joy presently in this moment, May 4th, 2022? What are some things you're enjoying at the moment? It could be anything from, I'll start to give you an example. Oh gosh, what I said, I just set myself up. I have one. I physically turned in my thesis today. I printed it
wow.
out.
Wow. Awesome. Bad.
So that's bringing me joy.
That's good.
I celebrate that with you. What's bringing me joy? Can I tell y'all? Mm-hmm. I don't have to pay tuition again.
Yay, RIP tuition bills.
Yes. I need sermon. Yeah. I need a sermon. We celebrate this. We've been paying tuition since she was six. You know, I'm like, that Porsche 911. I printed out that picture of that Porsche 911. That's bringing me joy, baby girl. You remember when you gave me the printout of the BMW?
Yes, because it's always, oh my God, sorry, derailed. But my mom always, whenever I used to ask my mom for something, she would be like, I would say like, "Oh, I want this shirt from Justice," or like, "Oh, I want an American Girl doll." She's like, "Okay, well, I want a BMW." So, and one day at Christmas, I printed out a BMW and I printed out BMW keys and I put the keys, like the paper keys on a keychain and I wrapped it up and I like gave her the keys with like a bow on it. And did I put the car in the driveway? I thought about it, the printed out car.
No, but you gave me personalized license plates. I still like
that. That's very sweet. I like that.
Yeah.
So that's so good.
Sorry, back to the prompt. What's bringing y'all joy?
I don't know. I just, you know, watching how, you know, my kids have turned out. They're not perfect, you know, but neither are we as parents, you know. I still think we did a great job, you know. We did, you know, Lauren, like Julia said, you know, I agree. You're graduating in a few weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my son, he's completing a year of tertiary education. So not bad there, you know. I am proud. I'm proud of, you know, your accomplishments. Yeah. And you're graduating strong too, Lauren. That's important. That's good. You know, that's always feel important. Yeah. So I'm proud. I'm proud of your independence as well. You know, I'm proud of that. I think you will do well. So I'm just anxious to see, you know, what you will accomplish, because I know, you know, it's gonna be great.
That means a lot. Thank you. That's a beautiful note to end on. Well, thank you guys so much for coming to be on the episode today. This was a wonderful way to brighten up my Wednesday afternoon.
Yes.
And thank you everyone to tuning in. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. It's great.
Yes, thank you guys for tuning in. Keep an eye out for our next episode dropping in 2 weeks, and keep up with us on social media in the meantime, on Instagram at Black Girl Blueprint, on Twitter at B Girl Blueprint, and now on TikTok at Black Girl Blueprint as well.
We hit 10,000 followers on TikTok.
Really?
Saw that this morning.
On TikTok? TikTok.
That's okay. And if you all like this episode, you can let us know by subscribing. You can leave us a review, rate us 5 stars if you would like. And that's all. We'll see you all in 2 weeks. Goodbye. Say goodbye to our lovely mothers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you both. Be well.
Bye, everybody.